And of course, if you have an objection to being recorded, you can stay silent or leave. So today is April 17th. Welcome to the Use Case Realization Call. We're going to be talking about a number of things coming up related to a lot of the use cases. So probably one of the most important things is this R5 El Alto Cadence release proposal. I've contacted Catherine Lefebvre to see if she can join and could speak, but she wasn't available. At the TSC call tomorrow, I think a decision will be made whether we move to this new form of release. And I know that some people weren't on the last call here. So if you go to this link, there's this release cadence proposal document, which describes the new form of release that they're looking at. So in a traditional waterfall 28-week cycle, the features are defined. We develop the defined features and use cases, and then we go through a testing and integration and debug phase. And in this new model, they're looking at taking El Alto to be just a technical debt reduction release, where they're looking at refactoring software, addressing Jira backlog, defect issues, looking at vulnerabilities, test coverage, and test automation, and deployment and updating documentation, which means that a lot of the use cases that we had been planning for El Alto or proposals for El Alto will instead be moved to Frankfurt instead. And that will mean that we'll have basically a longer time to plan those use cases. Okay, so I'm no expert in this, but this is just what I've seen in this. And I think tomorrow at the TSC call, they'll be discussing this. Okay. The Dublin release, R4 M4 milestone, RC0 is the next milestone, which is April 25th. That's next week. And at that stage, the project team should be focused on supporting integration testing, closing high priority defects, and supporting the documentation team. So you can look at the release planning page, which I think is here. So April 25th is RC0. RCs are to ensure proper alignment and execution on the end-to-end release test cases and end-to-end functional test cases. And we passed last week the M4 code freeze milestone, where basically the code is supposed to have been frozen and moving into integration. Okay, I'm going to skip the platform topics for right now. Last week, Oscar gave a presentation on the controller to lifecycle API evolution, which I thought was a really good talk. And the goal is to create a common LCM API and a CCSDK supporting PNFs for applicable lifecycle operations and enable CDS blueprint processor to customize behavior of LCM operations in a self-service category. So that's one of the things that I think it's happening that could happen in R5 or possibly R6. So I think that's kind of what they consider a requirement. I don't know that there's a use case for that. That's kind of like the platform evolving. So I don't know, Oscar, did you want to say anything else about that?
I mentioned last week that it's a bit broader than a specific use case. It's more of an architecture evolution that could impact in some way multiple use cases. So where we are right now, I think I mentioned that as well, that it's still there are still ongoing discussions about the actual solution and the target architecture. And so I expect sometime in the future, this will be brought up again to the architecture subcommittee for further discussion.
Right. So it was presented at the architecture subcommittee on April 9th, right?
Yeah, was actually the second time.
Okay.
And probably there will be a third time.
Yeah.
Later.
Okay. Great. So we'll watch for how that evolves and how that impacts. I'm sure it'll have influence and impact to a number of other use cases. So last time we also talked about the BBS use case evolution. David had, I guess I should put some names behind some of these, but and this is really Catherine February. So David gave us a link last time to this BBS evolution use case, and he mentioned some of the things that are happening. So let's see. So I think this link is save file BBSR5 BBS use case folder BBS. BBS use case. Enable editing, okay.
Hi, can you hear me? Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, we can.
Hello, can you hear me?
Can you hear us?
Hello, hello.
We do hear you. And I think we hear each other.
I hear you.
Okay.
Okay.
Hi, hello?
Hello.
Hi, can you please call me back?
We hear you and we hear each other.
Yeah, sorry. okay. So... all right. Sorry, there was an incoming call. and my audio was going wacky for a second. Okay. So let's see. I was just about to go over, and Tim just joined. That's good. I don't see Steve on the thing here. Tracy, do you still run your calls on Wednesdays? I didn't see it in the calendar anymore, so I...
Yeah, well, it's been preempted by activities in the Open RAN Alliance.
Okay, I see.
Martin still has a small session, and it's preempted this week because we're having this big event at AT&T.
Okay, so I'll look for it again.
It's one of the reasons why I figured I'd join your call.
Yeah, great.
To see if there's time, if we can talk about, rethinking this notion of El Alto being non-functional requirements only.
Right. That's actually what I led the conversation with. So,
Okay, good.
I actually led the meeting with this discussion of El Alto being a purely a reduced and technical debt release. So refactoring to your backlog and stuff. So we talked about that before you joined.
Okay.
I think that decision is being made tomorrow, which of course will impact a lot of stuff that we do, right? So
yep.
Okay. So I had next talked about the R4 Dublin milestones. And then we started talking about some of the platform topics, the controller and NF association, which I have presentations on, and we should probably hold off on these topics until we find out more about this new release. There was a BBS use case evolution happening that, whether it happens on R5 or R6, I think there are some new applications for the BBS use case or extensions or backlog work. Tim, do you want to say some words about that?
Yeah, I mean, so we have some technical debt that we have to buy down, but what you have here is the backlog. There was two things that we wanted to do. One, we wanted to do a change of the service subscription, for us go from one gig to 10 gig or something like that. But just change the service, right? So okay. We've already changed the location, so this changes the service. And the other one is to do a full closed loop for some fault management, right? So we do closed loop for the relocation, but we don't do closed loop for fault that we can proactively fix a fault, right? So those would be the two big use cases that the broad use cases that they're looking at. We got to get the specific scenarios down. But again, it goes along the same lines. Keep it zero touched, keep it automated.
So what kind of impacts will this have to other use cases, or what do we?
I think to other use cases, I don't think any necessarily. So we, again, the premise is that we want to use the ONAP platform. And so I don't know if there's there isn't anything new in here that we'd want to change in like the PNF registration like we did in R4. So I don't, there might be some stuff that when we get into the clamp elements of it that we might have to deal with, but I don't think we're intending on changing anything.
Okay. All right. Great. So you're modifying APIs and SO, you're updating.
Yeah, this is the technical debt for some of the stuff that we've got to deal with, right? Because this came out of Dublin, right? Dublin just didn't do everything we needed to do. So there's some things that we needed to do. We needed to, on the external, we need to have the ability to modify a service, which you can't do. SO had to have that service update, as you know.
Right.
And then there's some stuff that we need for the service creation environment, like for the Etsy-based service model.
Did so that actually happen? No,
not for Dublin. That's what I mean. So it's so we've got to get some of the stuff corrected that we put into the broadband services use case and move it to the SO. So those are the things that they're thinking about. We'll do it based upon once we understand the company commitments. We'll figure out how much of that stuff we do, but we're keeping track of our technical debt.
Okay, and we talked about some requirements for the PNF plug and play as the re-registration use case. I was wondering if you think there might be requirements needed, new requirements needed for that.
We haven't identified any for the use cases that we're dealing with right now.
Okay. All right. So. Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks. So for the PM FM metadata and PM dictionary, so the work that's been done there, this is the I created a page for R5/R6, but there's also a R4. What's happening? There is so basically we have the best specification in place so that you can receive and define the FM metadata and performance measurement stuff, and we're looking to provide a simple GUI which will display some of that FM metadata and performance measurement data, and that will be evolved in the next release. So it's pretty simple right now. I think they're still working on that, so that's underway. At this past Monday's call, I was on the Aula's use case call, and so this is the current El Alto proposed use case page, which I should have linked to here. Okay. Oops. So this is the general use case page here. And so on that call, I presented the 5G use cases, this page here, which is here. And at the San Jose Developer Conference, I presented a set of slides talking about the use cases, which most people I think have seen, but some people might not have seen, so let me just show that really quick. All right, so at the developers conference, I presented the set of slides, which was put together in conjunction with the input from all the people, a lot of people, also people on the call too here, with the 5G use case team. We put together slides of what the use case is about, what we're looking at as the next steps in release 5, or now possibly R6. So a slide describing what it is and what we're doing and what our next steps are in the next release. Okay, so you can download that from a wiki page. So in the Monday's call, we had talked about kind of splitting up this page into two separate pages, which you see here is the end result of. What we did was take the general PNF use cases off and I split them off into their own separate page here. So that would mean the pre-onboarding, onboarding use case, configuration with NetConf, plug and play, and software upgrade. So again, many of the first applications will be with 5G. But for example, in PNF plug and play, which I started working on in R2, and then in R3 and R4, we see that in this last release, it got used for the BBS use case for the re-registration handler. So it's applies to more than just 5G to use, and has been used with other more general PNFs. For these other use cases, again, you can see, for example, for PNF software upgrade, we're still initially considering them with 5G and a 5G application, but it can be used more broadly with any PNF eventually, I think. So, and the same with some of these other use cases as well. FM and PM are things that are likely to be able to be used with any PNF, but they find their first usage in in 5G, and they still have some 5G specific stuff in them at the moment. So we had a discussion in the team, and they didn't quite excuse me, recovering from a cold. They still didn't quite feel comfortable making this, just calling this a purely generic use case. Of course, PCI and SON is very 5G specific, and 5G service modeling is also 5G specific, and network slicing obviously is also 5G specific at the moment. So there were a couple of other things. I didn't add this. KDDI added a line here for mobile service chaining, and Alice said this should probably be moved up to the broad general use case. And last week, Atul Purohit, also who was on the call, suggested a use case for end-to-end service creation, IoT, and ONAP for facilitating the creation of services. So we need to investigate this some more, I think. And this might be something possibly that also moves up into the more broad general use case page. So this page is, might have some updates I haven't published yet. Oh yeah, I added this paragraph about R5. So I added this paragraph about R5 being possibly a maintenance or technical debt release, and the link to that with the release cadence proposal. We can update this as the decision is made tomorrow regarding that. And I also had mentioned, to Ala that, this is R5 stuff, and she said she's aware that if the proposal tomorrow is accepted, then she'll immediately create an R6 page, and we'll move all this other stuff over to R6. Okay. Any questions about that?
And this is Fei here, and may I ask a simple question about release 5 and release 6? For example, for 5 user cases, the PNF software version, software upgrade. Is it clear we have for the different scope in different release, or we are just running on it and we will divide it later on?
So, so for PNF software upgrade, it's
had... Or plug play is similar.
Or plug and play, yeah. So for PNF software upgrade, two releases go in R3. the use case kind of started in a pretty simple let's just get something working using an external controller. And in R4, the idea was to have ONAP directly talk to the PNF via netconf. And that has been what turns out to be a multi-release effort, so that it got pushed out of R4, and the focus is now in R4 on a rollback API. And so in the next release, whether it's R5 or R6, I think Oscar and Ulas and others will be leading this back again on trying to get the software upgrade, PNF software upgrade use case focused on from the controller to the PNF. So that still has yet to be defined. So what we did in one of our meetings was we went to the tables here, software up right here. And what we did was you just cut and paste this table and put it into the R6 page. So you'll see this table here matches this table here in the presentation, right? So these are the things that we're looking at for, so these are the things that are being looked at in the next release. Right now it says R5, but of course that could be R6. It depends on what happens tomorrow, right? But the next stage is mostly focused on netconf. I think that'll be the big thing for PNF software upgrade and development and around that. So right now it mentions R5, but I think if R5 becomes a technical debt release, I think none of this will be done, but this will be done in the following release. For plug and play, what I did was I again took the all the open items from the R4 plug and play page, and I put them into here, and I cut and paste them into here. So these are the things that we're kind of currently aware of that we are probably going to be looking at in the next release, whether that's R5 or R6. So I think we'll see in the following weeks, the planning, you know, we have some time for planning of what's going to happen in the next release. I think one of the biggest things is this ANI schema adaptation for a PNF ID to PNF name, using the PNF name instead of PNF ID as the key into ANI. I've been trying to get that in for a couple of releases, and I've been attending the calls in the ANI calls that Jimmy runs, but we weren't able to get that in this past release, and they're looking to get that in the following release. And that's probably one of the biggest changes. It impacts a number of other things, SO and so forth, and vid. Jimmy even presented this at the San Jose Developers Forum. He mentioned about the large schema changes and mentioned, you mentioned this as an example as well. Did that answer your question today?
Oh yeah, it's very clear, and to get your answer. And more. I have one question, maybe at least maybe not good to discuss on here. And for some plug play and PNF software upgrade, I have some details questions. Maybe I can discuss video offline.
Sure, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I think this takes time.
Yeah. No problem. Yeah. So one thing that we've been looking at it was a discussion of how to document stuff release to release, and I should put in the link from the sort of base plug and play page. Right. So there was some debate as to whether, we should create a whole new plug and play page with each release or document the incremental upgrades. We left it up to the people working the use case, and for plug and play, didn't want to recreate this whole wiki page with every release, because I think that would be rather burdensome and overwhelming. So what I did instead was I created a sort of table of evolution and what's happening per release. so you can see in R4 what we did, and I'll create another column here for R5/R6. And this is the link to the R4 page for Dublin. Come R5, I should be able to add a column. Next column here. So for R5, R6, whether that's El Alto or Frankfurt, PNP enhancements. Okay. So I'll link to this once I know what releases this is in, and I kind of summarize the changes in the section for the evolution of the feature or of the use case. I think also, for software upgrade that we had, I've been on some of the software upgrade team meetings as well, and they also wanted to do that as well. So I would expect like a base PNF software upgrade. Wiki, okay. And then this page would just document the updates. All right, so new PNF, general PNF update, this case page created, okay. And I think Allah will be, Allah discuss creating new pages for service chaining, mobile service chaining. Where? Okay. Oop. Let's see here, mobile service chaining. Some KDDI, but other, you know, other people as well. And then for service creation, okay. All right. So one of the next things coming up also is that week to week, there's been a lot of discussion about alignment with the Etsy Sol 001, 004, 007 models with the ONAP internal model and also the PNFD model. So that all is of course really important to move forward with defining a 5G service. So okay. I think that there was a presentation from TIN on this topic, which I thought was interesting. You can download all of these at the San Jose Developers Forum. The link was from last week's meeting. Okay, so just so you know where to find it. Okay, I think it's here. Let me just put this in the chat so everybody has it. Okay. All right. So from there, you can find, if you scroll down, the realization call. So last week, realization call, we had talked about the San Jose Developers Forum, and you can go to here and get all the presentations and listen to recordings. And so there's a lot of interesting recordings here that you can explore. I didn't replicate it here again because, you know, it's now 2 weeks on since that meeting, and we'll, but something that's still relevant is the service modeling discussions there, which will have ripple effect into what we're doing with 5G and other use cases. So there was a presentation about the NFV Etsy proposals and standards. So SOL 001 through 007, notably one, which talks about the task of VNFD and network service descriptors, 004, which deals with packaging, and both of those are going to be extended for PNF management, PNF onboarding, which are very relevant for what we're doing use cases in R4. And not only that, but those standards also talk and define a lot of the content of models and what, you know, a lot of the terminology and stuff that should be used. And they're we're looking at harmonizing those terms and models between ONAP and Etsy, which influences how we've defined the PNF descriptor and the model and components and connectors and external connectors and how ultimately I think the 5G services will look like. Okay. So there's a lot of work there. I think the presentation from Tin was interesting. And let me see, there was another one that was also pretty interesting as well. Oh, here's the cadence release proposal from Catherine Lefebvre. And you see that obviously it still has ripple effect even now. Okay, the zero touch management. Is this the... oh yeah, this is the standards presentation from Anatoly, which is also very interesting, I think, as well. So there's a number of both 3GPP and Etsy standards that are very relevant to trying to get 5G working, 5G RANs working with ONAP. And and also ONAP has already its own model for a lot of stuff, notably in ANAI. And trying to harmonize those two things together, adopting things that are generally applicable to PNFs, as ONAP scope is more than just 5G or 3GPP devices, but also to not, I think ONAP is trying to avoid being its own standards body and to adopt to adopt things that have already been defined. Why do all the work when you have a whole body of people doing doing that sort of stuff? Okay, so which leads me to another interesting thing that happened this week is, and that is, so within ANEI, there's actually a model browser that's being developed. So Jimmy's on vacation this week, but there's in ANEI there the modeling subcommittee is looking at essentially trying to decompose, harmonize the ANEI data model better, and as a means to that end, I think the ANEI team or the team is developing a browser. A model browser, and I think that's underway. So, okay, so that's one of the things that was being discussed in the various calls this week. I was just on the ANI call right before this call. Okay, and then at the architecture subcommittee meeting. See what I have too many windows open. All right. So one, they're discussing a lot of things, and actually there was a really nice presentation about edge deployments in ONAP from Ramki Krishnan, which I've contacted to speak at one of these future use case realization calls. There was a really interesting and a discussion about edge deployments of ONAP and central deployments of ONAP and how to sync information and stuff. I thought was very, very interesting. So I thought it will be useful to share. And he said he can present in the upcoming weeks on the realization calls. So I've marked as an upcoming presentation from Ramki here. Ramki. Okay, so in the architecture subcommittee, there's a number of, let me see if I can find that. Yeah, so this is the top page. So there's a number of architecture committee information flows, which I'll put in the chat here. And I've been working on a lot of these flows. So I finished the SCC service distribution and then worked with Chakar and the SO service instantiation flow, so you can look at those. So this week I presented that this flow and, oh sorry, whoops, not this one, the service instantiation flow. So if you have comments, you can read over this, but this talks about basically creating a service and what goes on behind the details of documenting the service creation flow. So looking at in design time, where a designer uses the service designer to define a service and the associated resources that it needs, and as a result, a service CSER package is created, which is distributed during runtime to runtime components, including SO. SO listens and gets that package and deployment, that CSER package. And then a instance of that service is created during runtime, and a number of other functions happen, homing and network assignments and resource requests and controller activation and multi-cloud resource requests. So you can look through this flow. I'm not going to go over it in great detail, but you know, the basic idea is that there's major steps that happen, like service creation requests, inventory record creation, homing requests, and then there's descriptions beneath each of these in each of those steps. So at a call this week, it was a discussion of what the next flow would be, and so we're looking, I'll be working with Mikkel and Zhu on this onboarding resource into SDC page. So I created a new page for that to start with. So I sort of started it here. You know, it starts with a scope, and this flow will basically be focused on the onboarding of resources and is done during design time to bring in a VNF or PNF resource into SDC. Taking a PNF onboarding package. So I've been working with Michaela and Zhu on this page for onboarding and pre-onboarding. And I told Stephen, the head of architecture subcommittee, that you know, we've got a lot of work already here for the onboarding and pre-onboarding use case, which describes onboarding a package. There's diagrams showing what's typically in a package, you know, the contents within a package, and then a validation and the steps that happen in validation. So we'll be documenting that in this flow. Okay, any questions there? Okay. All right, so that's just at the start of the work, though. So a new information flow for onboarding packages. All right. So I've contacted Ramki on these upcoming meetings. I should probably get from Tin some of these. There's a presentation on the PNFD modeling, and I was on the modeling call this week. And they were talking about a different thing. This week they were talking about a business transaction model, but they did talk about baselining the PNFD model, which is relevant. So it can be very hard on the sidebar to, like, if you open up any one of these, you can like sort of open up the sidebar. I mean, it's in here somewheres, but it can be very hard to find in the modeling. I mean, it might be in here somewhere, but it can be hard to find where that PNFD model is. So anyway, it's in here, it's in this I think it's in here somewhere. Okay. I'll try to find a direct link for that later. All right.
Hey Ben, this is Shankar.
Oh, hi Shankar. Hey, how are you?
Hi.
I didn't see you.
I have a repeat conflict, and that's why I joined these calls late.
Yeah.
I did see you. I got the email about the data persistency.
Yes.
But frankly, I don't know if Dublin is El Alto is a sort of a maintenance release. I don't know any progress we're going to make is going to be after that, right? Is that your
Right. So I believe that. So that's the first thing we talked about in the meeting was that El Alto is likely to be a maintenance release and could be shortened into I guess three smaller drops. And if that's the case, then probably this data persistency, what you've already done with data persistency in the OFPC, of course, is really good. And but I don't know that it'll be evolved beyond what was already done in R4 if this R5 proposal is accepted.
Actually, one of the things that is happening is the work for that config.db work has been done, but it was not merged. Dan Timoney actually moved it, the Jira item officially to El Alto.
But the
code has been done and committed, and it'll be ready for the use case.
Okay, I see.
Yeah. So there's one config.db Jira item which got moved to El Alto.
Does that mean none of it works, or?
No, it works. It works. The code is there, but there was an issue with, I guess, to say that it was done in M4, there was some issue about it getting merged properly, and then I guess we just ran out of time. So there were four Jira items. Two of them are done in M4. One of them, the work is done, but it was not officially done, merged. And there's one more, there are some challenges with the level of support and things like that in CCSDK. So that also will be allowed to, yeah.
Okay.
So, but that doesn't relate to data persistency. Yeah.
I think the data persistency will build upon what was done in the config.db work for MariaDB and stuff, right?
Yes, exactly. It was done for Casablanca, and there's more work that was done as part of the Dublin use case, POC, but it'll get merged to El Alto with any announcements we have. And maybe by that time, we might be able to say something more. I think we already made the change if ANI is using the PNF ID as the primary key and not the PNF name.
Right. So, basically I assume there's some branch or some instance you can deploy of ONAP, which has all of the code working, and it's just not merged into the sort of main branch, right?
This is the use case documentation will show that this is what we did. We took the ONAP code, and these were the things that were added. And if somebody wants, they can repeat the same thing. And then when it comes to El Alto, then it'll be part of ONAP as well.
Right.
But this is a big topic.
Right. Okay. Also, just for your edification, I had split off the general PNF use cases now from Ala's call. She suggested with Vimal's consent to split off the general use cases with the 5G use cases. So they're in two separate pages now. The PCI Sun stuff is still in. Squarely in the 5G.
The 5G, yeah.
Yeah, so that'll still be there. But just so you know, we split off the general use cases.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Makes sense, yeah.
Right. Okay. So for some of these platform topics, again, if R5 becomes just a pure technical debt release with a shortened cycle, I think none of these things, either platform topics or use cases, I think will really, except maybe the modeling stuff, will be done in R5, but we'll have a lengthened cycle going into R6 to prepare for them. So there'll be work being done in the background, but the actual work on the use cases won't happen until later. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So there's about 5 minutes left. Is there any other major topic that we wanted to cover? Tracy, did you want to say anything about, I've been a little out of touch with what's going on with SDNR.
So I guess what we've been trying to accomplish with SDNR, the SDNR team,
yeah,
is number one, work within the Open RAN Alliance to speed up the, it could be pre-release, but the availability of the 3GPP baseline that all of the equipment operators agreed upon. Mm. I mean, all the equipment vendors and operators agreed upon, and add that to what we already have in the way of an information model in ONAP, and expand the existing management interface for configuration management as a starter. So that's where most of the energy has been focused. We were expecting that once we get those interface specifications, we could just plug them in and do some interesting, basically get some of the 5G. And of course, they're not 5G, but we're calling them 5G use cases. They're not just 5G, but get some of those use cases working with these open interface specifications. But now it seems as though these use cases are, I don't know. Then this was our expectation for El Alto. So I'm kind of.
So this is those working.
I wanted to, we're kind of in replan mode.
Oh, I
What's
see.
That?
So these are like those working group, ORAN working group 1, 3, 5, 6, those, is that?
Right. And the goal is to have, and I'll start with the simplest one because I'm most familiar. It's not the simplest, but it's the one with which I'm most familiar. And there's this notion of having a configuration management netconfig specification based on or derived from an information model that's aligned with 3GPP, 5G, NRM, and other pre-existing 3GPP information models. So we have the project in Papyrus. We're starting to make some progress with the modeling, but I'm wondering, what, and maybe either you or Shankar can give us some guidance, which of the 5G use cases would be good candidates for doing some verification and validation with our evolving model. Maybe something that's OOF based, PNF plug and play. I mean, I assume we could do something with PNF plug and play and just reduce EM to the bare minimum of vendor provided data for whatever the PNF happens to be.
So,
I don't think any of this would be, I think this could be done with Dublin, with El Alto.
Right.
Just not sure how meaningful it would be to
that's
do
interesting,
that.
Interesting, because let me show you this. I created this page on 5G service modeling, which, so one of the things is, this is kind of an overview of 5G, but basically the objective of this use case is, hey, we need to start getting our hands around what is a 5G network and how do we model it and how does ONAP see it, and I think this kind of ties into kind of what you're saying too with the ORAM.
Yep.
You know, fundamentally, if a 5G base station has a DU and CU, and there's some relationship between those and an end to one relationship, or and we model that through connection points and virtual links and in the ONAP data model and information model. So at a very, very simple level, this is the sort of representation of the resources associated with that 5G service being NFCUs and PNF DUs. So I think that's really important to get just a 5G base station represented in ONAP. And I think, you know, I see in the ORAN, XRAN work, you know, there's a lot of conceptual overlap too. Like with the RIC, there's a lot of overlap with other controllers and external controllers. the modeling, you know, because fundamentally they're kind of doing similar things, except ORAN is kind of focused to a lot of this real-time stuff, at least as I understand it. So,
but yeah, that's, and definitely if you look at the RIC, the near real-time RIC,
right.
But that's, there's a lot of other, like, we could get started, and Shankar, I think I might have spoken over you, I'm sorry, but we could have get started with something that's very well defined from work group 4 for open front hall. That could be a starting point.
Yeah.
I agree with you about modeling 5G base stations from a 5G service perspective, but you know, we could start with something much simpler than that. And oh, by the way, you know, a lot of the attributes that we care about for, you know, anything that's SON-like or a candidate for an OOF-based approach, a lot of those attributes are the same across LTE, 4G, and 5G.
Right. And even if R5 is a maintenance release, I think a lot of that modeling work can still continue even without development, because I find those things to be...
That's what Brian said. Brian Freeman said yesterday. He said, you know, you probably do a lot with the code that's already in Dublin.
Yeah.
Let El Alto be a maintenance release if that's what the community, you know...
Desires.
...agrees upon.
Yeah. Right, right.
So, and Shankar, I don't know if you had any comments if this is...
Oh, I just a quick comment. In the PCI use case, and now we're changing the name to a SON use case. So OF-based OF SON use cases. One theme that always has been, as you know, that the SDNR interaction with the LAN simulator is NetConf Yang based. And that's how we took the common model and we made sure we added things. And so so if El Alto is a maintenance release and if you're not really doing anything new, one of the things you could do is there is SDNR interacting with the RAN simulator, and we can see what parts of this model are coming from ORAN.
And Shankar, there's also SDNR interacting with you know, real equipment. We've demonstrated that, and we could certainly demonstrate that with Dublin and El Alto, even if we have to use adapters. External adapters, I mean.
You have a page or
fired in.
Yeah.
Tracy, do you have like a link I can add here, or is there some more information that somebody?
Let me get you the. Hold on a second. And I don't know how useful this is going to be because.
I'll have to drop. Sorry, but I'll.
I think they're going to. Yeah, I think. Let me check and see if the. The Open RAN Alliance wiki is supposed to be opened up. And let me see if that's happening this week or next week. Otherwise, I'll send you an excerpt that I'll just put it up on the ONAP wiki.
Okay.
Hey Tracy, I wanted to mention that I concur with Ben about beginning to work on the representation for 5G.
Absolutely.
You know,
the only reason I said that some of the attributes are common is the SON use cases are the ones that are on your list for 5G. But yeah, if the attributes happen to be common across, you know, happen to be similar or the same with what's in LTE RAN or 4G, it's two birds with one stone. I absolutely...
Yeah, and, you know, I'm thinking more of the 5G architecture evolution. So, yeah, I agree. Some of the attributes will be consistent across many of the algorithms. Okay.
And as Ben just, you know, as we just saw, you know, the 5G architecture evolution is, a lot of the work we have to do is modeling. It's not necessarily recoding and recompiling, although that'll happen later.
Yeah.
The use cases in Dublin, and even if they remain unchanged in El Alto, there's a lot of work that can be accomplished through modeling.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
And actually, in the past month, Borislav Glazman, who is leading the network slicing 5G use case, has made a couple of presentations to the modeling subcommittees, which meets three times a week, Mondays and Tuesdays, twice on Monday, and has gotten a lot of feedback and sparked a lot of conversation. And there's been also other presentations, follow-on presentations that have been created talking about the PNF descriptor and the 5G model of that. So he started the ball rolling in the modeling committee, because they realize it's a big effort and it's going to take a while to get all that hashed out, I think. So
and as you probably already know, the glue I regard the reps from Siena who sit on the modeling committee, like Nigel Davis and Lyndon Ong, are, you know, doing the, you know, they're looking across ORAN, ONAP, and the Open Networking Foundation. So we're trying to come, as well as, you know, an alignment with 3GPP, and of course using 3GPP NRM, SA5 and NRM as the baseline. So we have an evolving model, and we want to start doing stuff with it.
Right, and I think, you know, this is one of the, I mean, I guess this is sort of this topic, right? Because there's the ETSI models from SL001 through SL007, and that are defining lots of terms and views of how a box should look like, how a 5G PNF should look like. There's the ONAP PNFD model coming from the ONAP modeling subcommittee, right? And then 3GPP has a view of things, and then ONAP itself is also developed. And then there, as you just mentioned, the ORAN, XRAN various working groups. So I mean, I see.
Then there's Open ROADM.
Yeah. Like, what is that? I haven't heard of that.
OpenROADM.org is a.
How do you spell that? ROADM, is that right?
Open R O A D M.
R O D M. Okay. Huh.
ROADM. Reconfigurable optical.
Capitals.
Yeah. All caps.
I see.
Yeah. R O A D M.
Yeah, ROADM.
R-O-A-D-M. A-M?
Yeah. M.
Okay, reconfigurable. Yeah.
Right, Tracy?
Optical add-drop multiplexer. Yep, that's right.
Okay.
And then there's ONF.
And what is that?
And this is all kind of knitted together by ISOMI. Ask me what that means. I-S-O-M-I-I.
I-S-O-M-I-I.
I'll send you the presentation from... Lyndon and me.
I see. Okay, great.
And what we're what we're trying to do is work with all of the different subject matter experts in their open source projects or working groups, because they know the model for their specific technology of which they're the experts. And then take these equipment technology specific conditional packages and integrate them within a core or a common information model. And then make sure that's, because obviously one of the problems we're having is we have too many models.
Yes.
So we want to have these models harmonized.
Right.
I mean, we need to allow for the differences. There's no such thing as the one-size-fits-all approach to, you know, use one of our favorite cliches that there's no one-size-fits-all approach. But we should be able to use, like, Melanie, what Shankar said, now that, I mean, OOF-based PCI should always have been considered OOF-based SON. So we want to expand the model and start verifying and validating OOF-based SON use cases for 5G.
Right.
And we can do that in, you know, open source community. And then operators have several ways of doing it internally, as, you know, a field trial or, you know, an internal, you know, pre-production activity.
Yeah, and I think I see there's just so many models and different standards all driving on, all related to a 5G box. And what does a vendor?
Oh, all related to the network.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, yeah. I mean, you know, transport, RAN,
right.
5G, 4G, wireless transport, wireline transport.
Right.
So we need a mechanism to bring about some degree of consistency.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because, you know, slicing, of course, is, you know, is heavily dependent upon end-to-end programmability, and that's heavily dependent upon a consistent model.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. And and which standard, you know, which standards should we use and follow? And if we follow one standard, does that break something over there? And it, you know, it's an important topic to try to resolve, I think.
So I think we've made some progress within both, you know, ONAP and ORAN, and also the Open Networking Foundation, where, like, for example, ONF has its own open ROADM representation that's part of OTCC, the Optical Transport Config and Control Subproject. But the way Nigel and Karthik and Lyndon and Cam within the ONF, and most of these individuals are also major influencers within ONAP. They said, okay, let's have, you know, ROADM, you know, reconfigurable optical add-drop multiplexer, conditional package one, which is based on Open ROADM, and then, you know, two, which is based on OTCC. And then operators can implement one or the other and still have, model consistency, you know, cross domain.
Right.
So I would be very interested in, and I know we're kind of over time here, but I'd be very interested in, like, you know, with what Shankar had to say, let's do some OOF-based SON use cases with our extended model, and not just with the simulator, but also with, real equipment. And let's do PNF plug and play with the extended model and without, what did we call the EMS, the external controller, just with the EM.
Yeah, and so I do attend multiple modeling calls every week, and there's a lot of ETSI representation, but and some 3GPP rep, but very little to none of these other things. That's why I'm not so familiar with them. I don't see people.
Yeah,
groups.
And I think with I'm going to send you the slides, because a lot of this is brought together under ISOMI.
Okay.
Maybe if you have time.
Yeah, send me the slides, and I'll even include them in this wiki page here, and other people can who are interested can read.
And maybe we could, you know, have a follow up with the, you know, Lyndon and some of the other modeling folks from ONAP, and you guys, and see, you know, see if we're barking up the right tree.
Yeah.
And if so, how we can do something meaningful.
Right.
With what we have in Dublin.
Sure. And I think it would also be really useful to, once we have that initial meeting, to also go to the modeling subcommittee, which is defining the ONAP internal information data model and raise their awareness of, hey, here's another view, because they've been looking at the Etsy and 3GPP view, because of course we're focused on trying to get, you know, 5G RANs up and running, but this looks like it's related to transport backhaul optical network type domain, which was also very important to consider as well, but it has definitely been underrepresented, I think. So
yeah, what we've done is, you know, I think we've just kind of put some, you know, NetConfYang plugins based on these models in as features to be packaged with SDNC, CCSDK, and voila, that's SDNR.
Ah, right. Right, and this is why you have to continue.
Solar persona
this is
for mobility wireless, inclusive of wireless backhaul.
Yeah, right.
And that's kind of not the, well, it's definitely, I mean, it's a good way to make progress, but it's not the strategically correct thing to do.
Right.
So. Okay, I got to get on
I think, clock
that I'm late for, but are you available? I know a lot of people are gone for